In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. As they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary. How many times have you heard this passage read, or studied it in Sunday school at one time or another? Mary and Martha. Mary, the busy woman who couldn't sit still and let things happen, who wanted to be the gracious hostess. Martha, looking to serve, be the one who did everything. And then Mary, sitting at the Lord's feet, paying attention to His words, learning from Him. Sometimes it's taught like a moral. Thou shalt not be like Martha, but thou shalt be like Mary. But if we teach this as law, we miss the wonderful gospel that's in here. We need to be warned by God's law not to become so busy that we miss the things that God gives us. Busy Martha, as we just sang, toiled with pot and pan. Every one of us has had guests in the house at one time or another. Every one of us has been in one way or another feeling obligated to take care of those who entered our house. Or here even with the fish fryer and elsewhere where we're serving a wider public. Or even if it's a potluck, just wanting to make sure that we made enough for everybody and then finding out that, of course, everybody else made enough for everybody also and there's enough left to feed maybe 5,000. We feel obligated to do something for our guests because that's the way we're wired. And when we look in the scripture, hospitality is commended in some places and even commanded in others. Look at Abraham. He looks up, he sees three strangers in front of the house, and he immediately says, stop, eat, drink, relax, take a load off. And he became the gracious host, and he made sure that everything was set up for them, and he stood back while they ate themselves, taking the role of a servant. Not joining them as they reclined and ate, but rather watching over them. But at that time, they weren't talking. They weren't invited to learn, or Abraham wasn't invited to learn from them. So he stood aside. But here, with Mary and with Martha, Jesus has done what he does so often. He goes into someone's house and he takes over the role of gracious host. He takes over the role of head of the household. He stands there then and invites his disciples and the household and perhaps other people from the community to kick back and listen to see what he has to say. And that's exactly what Mary does. Martha is slaving away. It's got to be just right. Don't want to burn this. Don't want this to come out cold. Don't want the sauce too thick or too thin. Don't want the bread hard and dry. Whatever she was serving, if they had met Jesus before or not, they knew who he was. And she wanted everything to be just right for him and for all of those who were accompanying him. And that sister of hers was no help at all. Sometimes wives have this problem with their husbands or parents with their children. They just can't get the help that they need to get ready for the company. But sometimes we forget that the company is more important than what we serve them. And that they are a blessing to our house also. We don't have to be the total blessing, and this is just on an earthly level. I dare say most of us get carried away and go overboard sometimes, wanting to make things just so when our friends, our family, our guests would be happy with whatever we laid out, because they get to spend time with us. And Mary knows this somehow, that what Jesus has to say, what Jesus has to give, is more important than anything that she and her sister can cook and lay out. As Jesus has said elsewhere, that he is the bread come down to heaven. He is the bread of life. He is God's manna for us still wandering in the wilderness. And Mary is indulging herself in a feast for her ears, while Martha is sweating and slaving and perhaps swearing in the kitchen because she wants the feast for the belly. And she gets so aggravated with her sister that she goes out and tells Jesus, Jesus, tell her to stop listening to you. Well, that's not exactly what she says, but that is exactly what she's saying. Jesus, tell my sister that what we're doing in the kitchen is more important than what you're saying out here. That's what it's all about. It's not just that Mary has left Martha alone, but Martha has completely wrongly prioritized. Her work is more important than Jesus' work. And she's worried that her work won't measure up to what Jesus does and what the people around him expect. Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. Well, we only know one of those things. It's that dinner's not going according to plans and her sister's not helping. So maybe there's many things in that one thing, but this is just one of the things. It sounds like Jesus is addressing Martha's entire personality. She lets things worry her. She lets things get under her skin. She lets the distractions pile up. And every one of us can do that at one time or another. Our kids aren't paying attention. They aren't listening. Our spouses, we say one thing, they agree to it, and then they're off and doing something else entirely, like they didn't hear a word we said. We look at the checkbook halfway through the month and we realize that more than half of the month's money is already gone. We wonder if our kids are growing up too fast or if they're not growing up fast enough. We worry about this. We sweat the little petty things that are not at all important. Martha isn't just worried, concerned, anxious. She is, it seems, a worrier. Someone whose concerns and anxiety are part of her being. And Jesus tells her that Mary has chosen better because Mary has chosen not to worry. Now, this isn't like the old Mad Magazine with the cover guy, Alfred E. Newman, always saying, what, me worry? Because he looked like a complete moron. No, Mary's not oblivious to worries because she doesn't know that there's bad in this world, that there are things that need to be done in this world, that there are mouths to be fed, that there be clothes to be washed, that there are things to do. But the most important thing to do right now is to sit down, to be quiet, and to get Jesus. Not just to have him talk, but to understand what he's saying. Not just to listen to the words, but to let the words flow in and through and do what they're there to do. Sometimes point the finger to remind us that he came because we don't keep God's law and to point out just how far from God's law we are. And every one of us has enough of Martha in us that just this part of the law is there for us. We're worried, we're concerned, we're troubled by things that A, we can't change, and B, they're all in God's hands already. They say if it ain't broke, don't fix it, but sometimes if it is broke, you can't fix it anyway. And so, Lord, take over. Repair it or help me limp through until finally things are completely right. And Mary knows that her relationship with her sister isn't perfect, as evidenced by Martha coming in and working around her. Jesus, you tell her, because she's not listening to me. So that relationship needs addressing. Her relationship with God needs addressing. Her relationship with the rest of the world needs addressing, just as it does in ours. But Mary is willing to let Jesus address it, to hear him out, and to hear his love and his forgiveness and his care and his concern. Jesus at this time wasn't revealing himself totally, showing himself to be God in unbridled majesty. He wasn't yet displaying himself to the rest of the world as the Messiah, as one who would suffer. Only a few of his disciples had heard him talk so far about him going up to Jerusalem to suffer and to die. But Jesus is already giving away the fruits of his crucifixion. The salvation that he is in the process of earning, he is already delivering. And with it, that which the apostle calls the peace that surpasses understanding. Peace of spirit, of soul, of mind, of heart, peace even in the body that truly calms us. That takes away the tightness or the butterflies in our stomachs. That takes away looking over the horizon for that trouble rather than just addressing the troubles before us and letting the Lord lead us through them or take care of them. Whether we overcome or we endure, it's in His hands. We worry so much about our relationships that we don't let the Lord work on that first relationship between us and Him. So that we can truly love our neighbor as ourselves. Love our parents, love our children, love our spouses, love our neighbors, love our enemies. Just as Jesus loves us, just as His Father sent Him in love to save us. But when we come in and we calm down and we listen, we see that the one thing that we really need to worry about is already taken care of. You're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion. Mary has chosen what God has already invited her and all of His people to do. Cast your cares upon the Lord, because He cares for you. Give God your troubles, because He has already carried them to the cross and left them there with your sins, your doubts, your guilt, your shame. Let God worry for and about you for a change, rather than worrying about everything for yourself. Concern yourself with the things where you need to be concerned, where you can make a difference. And don't be banging your head against those things that you're not going to change, no matter how hard you try and how much you fret. But most of all, listen to the one who says, "I care for you. I'm going up to Jerusalem to suffer and die. Do I look worried? I'm going to get beaten. I'm going to get whipped. They're going to spit on me. They're going to flog me within an inch of my life, make me drag my own cross out of the city, nail me to it, and hang me up, and let me die. But I'm not worried, because I am doing exactly what my Father wants for you." He doesn't lay that all out yet for Martha and Mary and for the disciples who are around them, but it's there. That's why He's there. That's always in the background of what Jesus says and how He applies what He teaches from the Old Testament. That God loves sinners like you and me. And that God wants our lives to be pain-free, doubt-free, worry-free. And He sent Jesus to accomplish this. Of course, we know that it won't be fully accomplished until those last things that we worry about, our suffering, however much it is, and our death have taken place, so that we are raised up new and incorruptible, so that we come into the resurrection cleansed and pure and holy and beautiful, not needing anymore to walk by faith, because everything we need will be there in front of us by sight, by sound, by taste, by touch. Jesus could just as easily come into this room right now and say, "Walter, or Tom, or Barb, or any other one of us here, you worry about so many things. But the very fact that you are here says that you've grasped that there is one thing that's truly necessary. And by waking up and pulling your clothes on and getting to church today, you confess that you know what it is. It's Jesus. It's His Word. And it's our response to that Word in song and in prayer and in what we have here, the mutual conversation and consolation of God's holy people. The support that we have from our brothers and sisters in the faith as we gather around His Word, as we eat the bread of life, as we realize that we don't need to welcome Jesus as much as we need Jesus to welcome us. Our table prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus," forgets that first of all, it's Jesus saying, "Come, let me give you what I have for you. Let me give you peace and wholeness and harmony. Let me give you love that overflows. And by the way, let me give you this food, this drink, this house, and all the people around you." Because He is always our host, even when we invite Him as a guest into our own homes, our own lives, our own hearts, because we are His, and He wants every good thing for us.
You'll worry about everything. But just be concerned about one thing. Jesus loves you. He suffered, died, and rose again that you might know that love and have that love, not just for your days on earth, but through your days on earth into life everlasting. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace that surpasses understanding keep you steadfast in Christ Jesus. Amen.